In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Let's talk movies. Alan Adams from The Main Edge joining us in studio. Pass the Popcorn brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, where they have a film for everybody in the family, Stillwater Avenue in Bangor. Hello, Alan.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. You?
Oh, I can't complain.
Good, good. You had a nice weekend?
I did, relatively low-key. Did a couple of things, but mostly stuck around the house.
You got your house ready for winter, do you?
Yeah, hardly. but, you know, we keep picking away at stuff. So, yeah. You know, and we'll continue doing that until apparently Friday. And then...
Just snow showers, that's all.
Okay. Like, yeah, whatever you say, meteorologists.
Ooh. May I interrupt you for some breaking news?
Okay, sure. What do we got?
Some breaking baseball news involving the Boston Red Sox.
Oh, goodness.
What do you think it could be?
There are a number of things it could be.
J.D. Martinez staying put.
Not going to opt out.
Yeah, well done, Chaim Bloom. If he had anything to do with that. Red Sox DH, J.D. Martinez will not opt out of his contract. The club has yet to confirm that, but MLB.com is reporting it moments ago.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Anyone who, watched what happened last offseason, like, you've got to be nervous, like, especially if you've already got, like, one of those big contracts kind of locked in. Like, I don't know how you walk away from a guarantee at this point.
No, like, I agree.
You know, and it's like, I look at like someone like Strasburg who apparently is going to, and it's just like, man, that's $100 million.
Yeah.
Like, and,
especially for a pitcher,
you know, and I grant that he is superior to either of the guys who wound up waiting until July this year. Like, you know, he's a better pitcher than Dallas Keuchel or Craig Kimbrell, but still, man, like,
yeah.
Whew.
That's taking a risk.
Yeah. Like, and I mean, good on you for gambling on yourself, I guess, but, I have to imagine that he has some sort of insider knowledge. Otherwise, you got to know something's up, or else, like, why would you right. take the risk?
I would think so. So you did get to the movies this weekend. You saw a couple.
I did. I saw Harriet, which is the story of American icon Harriet Tubman, and I saw Terminator Dark Fate, which is the story of American icon Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Gosh. I'm weighing my options here. Well, I feel like we might end up spending more time talking about Arnold. So let's start with Harriet.
I think that's probably an accurate representation of what's going to happen. Yeah. So Harriet, it's interesting. Like, we are, you know, it's November, you know, and we are sort of definitely getting into that sort of prestige film, like, award season section of the cinematic year. And we're going to start seeing a lot more movies like this one, for better or worse, you know. And the truth is, with a movie like this one, the biggest issue is the fact that Harriet Tubman is just an astonishing figure. Like, you listen, like, her actual story is such that if someone had made it up, like, it just wouldn't, like, it wouldn't, no one would buy it. Mm. Like, because it's just so incredible. And to try to put that on film, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't quite work. Like, it's difficult to bring that sort of larger than life sort of iconic status to represent that accurately on the screen. Don't get me wrong. These folks really, they do their darndest to make it happen. And there's a lot about this that's really great. I mean, again, the story is fascinating. The young woman who plays the titular role, her name is Cynthia Erivo. She's phenomenal. Like, but it's unfortunate because it feels like so much of the story is sort of being folded into that sort of stand kind of cookie cutter biopic formula. Like, the beats are familiar, and it's like, you know, you kind of know, like, I mean, hopefully people know, have at least a passing knowledge of Harriet Tubman, but you kind of know what's going to happen when right. it's happening and all that stuff. And so it doesn't, the degree of suspense that maybe, or tension that you might want, as far as the narrative is concerned, is largely lacking. But The production design is phenomenal. Like, the aesthetic is great. Like, I love a good period piece, and they've done a wonderful job of representing the era, you know, the mid-19th century South, such as it is. I don't know, it's funny. Like, it's funny talking about this movie because, you know, what I usually do is, like, I'll synopsize the story, and I feel strange doing that because it's one of those things where it's like, if you don't know the story of Harriet Tubman, like, I don't know what to tell you, man.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's someone, like, because it's a 2-hour movie. It doesn't have a chance to go into the real deep, nuanced aspects of the character. And so, like, I watched this movie and I feel like anyone who didn't have a fairly decent understanding of 75% of the story being told was done a disservice by their education along the way.
I would agree with
that. You know what I mean? Like, it's that sort of, because she's that sort of an important figure. That said, you know, Erivo is great, and there are a lot of other really strong performances as well. The ensemble is really strong. You've got the guy who his name, the Broaddus family, is the family that owned Harriet Tubman. She was known as Minty at that time. The sort of scion of that family, a gentleman by name of Gideon Broaddus, played by Joe Alwyn. It's always tricky when you have
not Calvin Broaddus.
No. Although that would make the story considerably more complicated.
Yes,
wouldn't it?
It would.
Joe
three
Alwyn,
people listening get that.
Yes, and you're welcome. Joe Alwyn, he's a relative newcomer, he's very good. It's really tricky to play those sort of, like, hyper racist figures, because again, those people certainly existed, but it's so you play it realistically and it comes off as over the top, because I don't think we necessarily understand, even in the sort of fractured time that we're living in. I don't think people really grasp how extreme some of the people living in that time really were. And we get to see her deal with folks up and down the line at the Underground Railroad. And it's a wonderful idea. Like, I love the fact that this movie exists. I think it's wonderful that these people are, that people are given the opportunity to hear this story and see it represented on the big screen. But the unfortunate truth is, it's just like, she's too much to be contained by something like this, to be accurately rendered by something like this. And so I think the movie overall kind of suffers for that, because it never, there's not room to delve into nuance, which is really too bad, because there's a lot to like about it. Certainly, I think Orvino's lead performance, I think, is going to receive some significant recognition come award season. But it's almost like this movie could have... This movie could have been an awards darling, I think, if a couple of things had gone a little bit differently. How they would go differently, that I can't explain, because I don't know how you tell this story in a way that is both representative of the person and acknowledging the sort of legendary status that she has achieved,
right,
both in you know, in her own time and in ours.
All right, let's move on to Arnold. Terminator, Dark Fate.
You know, anyone who goes to the movies knows that Hollywood has sort of become consumed by the idea of franchises and sequels and reboots and all this stuff. But every once in a while, it's like, someone just sort of sat down in a room and it was like, hey, what if we did a sequel that was a reboot? And, you know, you just, like, the minds are blowing all over the table. But that's kind of what they do with this one. Because Terminator Dark Fate is a direct sequel to Terminator 2, the movie that came out in 1991, thus neatly excising the trilogy of garbage that was Terminator 3 Rise of the Machines, Terminator Salvation, and Terminator Genesis. Like, those movies are all very bad, and it's a good thing that we don't have to include them in the canon anymore, especially since when you build your franchise around time travel, like, you're begging for your mythology to become all tangled and convoluted and, like, just jammed with all these paradoxes, like, folding in on itself. Like, it just, the movies just increasingly made less and less sense as you went along. And so they basically just cut them out. It's like they never happened. So Terminator Dark Fate is a de facto sequel to Judgment Day. It even starts with footage from that movie. Some of the videotaped sort of testimonial footage that Sarah Connor, played by Linda Hamilton, gives when she's being confined to the hospital. And then we get to see her in the immediate aftermath of having averted Judgment Day and her moving on into a world where she doesn't know what the future is going to hold. And it's too bad because they're on an island in Barbados, and a Terminator shows up and shoots John Connor. I'd say spoiler alert, but it happens in like the first 5 minutes of the movie, so I'm not going to sweat it. She went through all this stuff to save her son so he could save the future, and then they fixed it so that future was never going to happen. But there were already, Skynet had already sent Terminators back, and one of them, made it through, and no more John Connor. A poor little Eddie Furlong, who apparently was very upset that they used his features as sort of a model for he's not actually in the movie. To sort of recreate the young Eddie Furlong. And he was kind of less than pleased with that, which understandably so. Anyway, so there's that. Flash forward to the present day, and we've got a young woman by the name of Dani Ramos, played by Natalia Reyes. She's just a regular woman living. She lives in Mexico with her family, works at an auto factory, just generally just a regular person. Turns out, as per usual in these sorts of movies, there's always a regular person who turns out holds the key to humanity's future. and that's Dani Reyes. Wow. In this one. A super soldier, a cybernetically enhanced super soldier named Grace, played by Mackenzie Davis, sent back by the human side, time travel, because, again, there's always the time travel, come back to protect Dani from the sinister and incredibly powerful Rev 9 Terminator, played by Gabriel Luna, who is basically, if you remember T2, with Robert Patrick being like the liquidy, like, it's basically him, like, just like on steroids, like even scarier and meltier and stronger and all that. And so it's basically Grace is there to protect, the Rev 9 is there to kill. They go back and forth for a little bit, and then out of nowhere, here's Sarah Connor with a grenade launcher and a rocket launcher and all kinds of guns, and she helps fight off the Rev 9, and they Grace and Dani join her, and they sort of flee and try to escape the Rev 9, which is, again, being a Terminator, unstoppable for the most part, and so it will relentlessly pursue them no matter how many times they explode it or shoot it or what have you. And that's fun, and it's fine, and we find out that it turns out a different artificial intelligence arose to power. Skynet's not a thing anymore.
Oh dear.
But now it's called Legion, and it's basically the same thing. It's an artificial intelligence that's like, you know what, humans, I'm not feeling humans. I'm going to build a bunch of robots and destroy them all. So they're on the run, and we discover that Sarah Connor, in the years since her son passed, is periodically receiving these mysterious text messages from an unknown source. She's basically just getting coordinates. It's set of coordinates and then signed for John. And she'll go to these coordinates, And that's where a Terminator will appear. And so she has spent the last, you know, 2 decades just basically on the run from the U.S. government and going hither and yon, destroying Terminators as soon as they appear naked from their balls of lightning. Because, again, that's time travel for you.
Yes.
Meanwhile, it turns out those coordinates, the coordinates that the encrypted texts are coming from match the coordinates that have been tattooed on Grace's side as the place that she's supposed to go if the mission goes sideways. And it's a location in Laredo, Texas. And they're like, well, I guess we got to go to Laredo, Texas, because we don't, you know, this guy's coming for us. So they go to Laredo, Texas. Who do you suppose is there, Rich?
Arnold.
Yeah. It's the same Terminator that killed John Connor.
Wow.
Who has, once he completed his mission, basically was stranded in a past that had no connection to the future from which he came. And so, he basically settled down in Texas and became a draperies guy.
Okay.
Yeah. All named right. Carl.
Sure.
Yeah. No, his name's Carl. And he sells, makes, and hangs draperies.
All right.
That's his business. He's got a
plausible.
He's got a lady friend, and he's been sort of raising the son as his own. Yeah. Still a Terminator, like still the same sort of like lack of affect. But again, you know, it's real skin, so they age because, you know, that's otherwise there's some complications there.
Yes.
But yeah, and so Sarah Connor less than thrilled with the idea of teaming up. Mm-hmm. With the T-800/Carl, but you know, you got to do what you got to do, and as you might imagine, well, hijinks ensue. We'll just put it that
way.
It's actually pretty fun. Like, it's a fun movie. It's certainly far better than the three movies that came before it. It doesn't quite reach the level of like the first two movies. But those are sort of like sci-fi classics, I think. Mm. And, you know, this one doesn't quite make it to that level. But it's still pretty good. Like, it's got, you know, James Cameron's fingerprints are definitely on it. Like, you can kind of get that vibe. There's that sort of, there's underlying sense of humor that I think is really important. One of the things that, you know, Schwarzenegger does best. And so it's nice to have him sort of have the opportunity to do that sort of deadpan humor. Great to see Linda Hamilton, who looks great and is fantastic in this. It's one of those things where it's like, you know, like researching after watching the movie and looking at her like IMDb page, it's like it's a crying shame how like how low the quality of project that she's been able to do. Like, it's because she's incredibly talented, you know, and she looks great, and she really does a wonderful job in this movie. Mackenzie Davis, Gabriel Luna, it's like, yeah, they're the dueling like super robot guy people, and it's fine. Like, they do good work. The young lady who plays Danny, she's fine as well. But this movie, it's about Linda Hamilton and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah. Like, none of the other stuff really matters all that much. It's just plot. Like, we're here because we want to see what Sarah Connor has been doing, and we're here because it's like, holy crap, the Terminator's name is Carl. Like, those are the sorts of things that we're excited to see from movies like this. And again, the decision to just pretend like the movies from the last 15, 20 years, that just pretending they didn't exist, I'm on board fully and wholly.
Oh, yes.
I think it was a really smart decision. It's an opportunity for them to sort of wipe the slate clean, like sort of, you know, like cut out all the knots and really just like have more streamlined storyline going forward. I believe their intent is to go forward, although it sounds like the box office haul is a bit disappointing.
Hmm.
The last thing I saw, word is that there's a chance that this movie could wind up losing as much as $100 million.
Oof.
Because it cost a fortune to make, and it just had a very, very soft opening weekend. And going into the season, like, you know, you've only got a couple of weeks, and, you know, and then stuff like Star Wars is going to start showing up, and it's like, yeah, that's, and no one's
the
gonna,
Irishman.
Yeah. Mm. Which I'm extremely enthusiastic to see, but I'm curious to see when it's going to land in our local Cineplex. But yeah, so Terminator Dark Fate, not a great movie, but good enough. Like, and yeah, certainly and certainly a fun opportunity to revisit some of these characters and to revisit this sort of story that had been that, you know, they did their best to ruin it, but instead they're just like, you know what, let's just start over. Good for them.
What was it you called? The Trilogy of Terrible? Is that what you...
Something like that.
I like that. That was very good. I'm going to use that later. Thank you, Alan.
My pleasure.